Okay, good to watch everybody. Today's daf, or the daf we're learning today is Yuma daf Pei Dalid. We are holding on daf Pei Gimel and Beis, three lines on the bottom of the page. Misha Neshachu Kelev Shota at the two dots. I assume today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And the topics we're going to be discussing, first we're going to talk about what a Kelev Shota is, how you can identify a Kelev Shota, how to cure an illness that's caused by being bitten by a Kelev Shota, and then we're going to discuss being Mechal Shabbos in order to provide for refuah, and what kinds of illnesses you could do refuah for in Shabbos, what kinds of illnesses one does not do refuah for in Shabbos. The Gemara is going to discuss in Amud Beis that the Mishnah tells us that you're allowed to do certain things because it's Suffolk Nefashos, and Suffolk Nefashos Lahakel, what the Chiddush of that line, that Suffolk Nefashos Lahakel actually is, why is that line necessary in the Mishnah, and what exactly are the cases where we rely on Suffolk Nefashos Lahakel. And then the Gemara is going to discuss other relating to Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. And then the Gemara is going to, at the very end of the daf, we're going to get into the idea of Ein Holchin B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar HaRov. How do we define what's called a Rov when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, and why we don't follow the Rov? Are there any situations that we actually would follow a Rov, or that we'd even have a Hava Amina to follow a Rov when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh? So that's a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. So let's begin at the two dots on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah said that Mishun Shachu Kelev, that Mishun Shachu Kelev Shota, that if someone is bit by a Kelev Shota, so it tells you what to do. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban Chamida, we have a Braisa, Chamishun Dvarim Nemru B'Kelev Shota. There are five things that we know about a Kelev Shota to identify a Kelev Shota. Piv Pasuach, its mouth is open. Veriro Notev, it has saliva dripping from its mouth. Va'aznov Sruchos, it has these large floppy ears that are sort of sagging down, uznava munach al yirachosav, and its tail is between its thighs or placed over its thighs. Umahalich b'tzidei drachim, and it walks off to the side of the road. V'yesh omrim af noveach ve'in kolo nishma, that when it barks, you can't hear its voice. It's not able to emit a proper sound like a dog normally is able to do. So says Mar Mimai Havi, what causes kelev to become a kelev shota? Most dogs are just shota by definition. Doesn't always mean crazy. By people, when we describe a chayr shota v'katan, a shota is a deranged person, right? A person who's developmentally disabled, something like that, is a chayrish, not a shota. Shota means someone who's deranged. But the term shota is used throughout Chazal to describe that which is out of the ordinary, that which doesn't fit into the general pattern. So like a hadas shota, what's a hadas shota? Is that instead of having all three leaves coming out of the same spot, there's that one leaf that's coming out of the wrong spot on the branch. It's just out of the ordinary. It's out of the norm. So a kelev shota is a kelev that's acting not like a normal kelev. It's something's wrong with it. So what causes the kelev to become a kelev shota? So Rava, Nashim Kashvanios Mesachkos Bo, that there are women that do kishuf in a derech schok on the dog, Ushmol, and that's what caused it to act so unusual. Ushmol am a ruach ra, Sharalav, that has a ruach ra that affects it, and because of that, it becomes a shota due to the ruach rav. My binayu, what's the nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel? So says Gemara, ika binayu, nafkamina between them is the mixlei bedavar Hanizrak. How should you kill the kelev shota? Should you dafka throw something at it from far away so that you don't come into close proximity to it? You don't come into contact with it. So if Shmuel holds that it's a ruach ra, that's shara lav, you shouldn't touch it at all, because then you have to worry that the ruach ra is going to jump on you, that the ruach ra is going to transfer from the kelev shota to you. But you shoot an arrow at it, you shoot a gun at it, something like that. But according to Rav, well, that it's not a ruach ra, it's just some sort of kishuf that women did to it. So then you can be horeg afilu biyadayim. That's the way Rashi seems to understand. Rabbeinu Eliakim says a little differently. He says that according to Shmuel, you could kill it bedavar anizrak, whereas according to Rav, you can't kill it even bedavar anizrak, because it's a dvar kishuf, and a dvar kishuf you're not going to be able to do anything to anyway. Meaning, since it's powered by kishuf, you're throwing, you're shooting a rock at it or throwing stones at it, whatever. It's not going to help anyhow. So either way, but that's the Gemara's answer. That's the nafkamina. The question is, that's the nafkamina. Tosfos Yom Kippurim says, isn't there a more pashut nafkamina? Again, what was the question? How does the kelev become a kelev shatus? One possibility is stamar ruach ra, that there's a shade or something. The other possibility is that women did kishuf on this kelev shota. So shouldn't the nafkamina be whether you should be machilo mechatz or kavit shalom? The Mishnah said that when a person is bit by a kelev shota, so you feed him from the chatz or kavit shalom. You feed him from a certain part of the liver of the dog. So you need to know what type of kelev you're talking about. If it's nashim kishpaniel, so that women did kishuf on it, or if it's a ruach ra, because if a kelev shota is that women did kishuf with it, so you don't want to eat from the liver of such a dog that has a ruach ra, that's shora. And according to Shmuel, you shouldn't feed from chatz or kavit of a kelev that women did kishuf on either. So l'chora, that might be a nafkamina, just whether you should eat the liver of such a kelev. Okay, so Tosi Yom Kippurim is bothered why the Gemara didn't give that as the nafkamina. Okay, says the Gemara, vaitu though. Tani kavase de Shmuel, we have a brayso that says just like Shmuel. Shahorgonoso, ein orgonosel b'dover nizrak. You can only kill it by throwing something at it. The chayiv pe mistakin. If you rub against it, if you actually come in physical contact with the kelev shote, it will be very dangerous. The nachasle, if the kelev shote bites a person, mayus, the person is going to die. So says Gemara, the chayiv pe mistakin, maitakante. So what? That's it? You should just give up hope. If a person rubs against the kelev shote, he should just his life is over. There's no solution. No. What's the takante? Well, how do you fix it? What do you do to solve the problem? So that's the Gemara. Nishlach mani v'nirhit. What you should do is immediately undress and run far away from that location. Meaning you assume that it's going to attach itself, whatever the problem is going to attach to the clothing. So take off all your clothing and just run to a different location. The Gemara brings a maisa of Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua chaf bechad minayu bishuka, that he rubbed against the kelev shoto in the shuk. Shalchinu l'mani v'roit. He took off his clothing and he ran. Amar kiyamti biatzmi. I fulfilled about myself. The pasuk in Koheles hachachma t'chaya ba'aleha, that if a person knows how to deal with the situation and they have that chachma, so it can save a person's life. Now you'd imagine that probably at the time that he did this, people thought he was crazy. He's in the shuk. In the shuk, it's a very embarrassing thing for one to remove their clothing. So it took a certain sense of chachma to realize that it's worth the momentary embarrassment, because he knew that this was going to be life-saving. So although to an outsider it probably looked very strange, but to him it was life-saving. So of course he's going to take off his clothing and run away in order to save his own life. Normally one of the simanim of a shota himself is that he walks around naked in the shuk. So a person who takes off their clothing, it looks like a shota. And by doing that, he managed to save himself. And that was actually the greatest sign of chachma. So the Gemara said, the nachas le'mayis, we said that if the dog bites you, then you die. So maitakante, how do you fix that problem if you're bit by a kelev shota? So Rabbi Nesi Mashchada Padichra, bring a hide of a certain type of animal, of a male animal, v'nichtov alei, and you should write on the hide, ano planya bar palnisa, amashchada padichra kasiv nalach, I, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, ploni ben plonis, which is interesting, when you don't use the name like you're called to the Torah, you use the name like they would say for a chalda, because the person is a chalda. So there's a discussion in Achronim why it is that when davening for a chalda, we don't use the father's name, that we dafka use the mother's name. So, okay, different suggestions as to why that might be. And then Chamisa, we use the person's father's name. But over here, we're using the mother's name. So you write on this hide, I, Ploni ben Plonis, I am writing on this hide of the animal, that and you write, Kanti Kanti Kilirus, such a lachash of Kanti Kanti Kilirus, and Va'amila, some say you write, Kandi Kandi Kalorus, Ka Ka Hashem Tzvakos, Amen Amen Selah. But everyone agrees that you end with Ka Ka Hashem Tzvakos, Amen Amen Selah. There's an interesting point that's made by the Ein Eliyahu, who points out that why would you say Ka Ka? Why are you referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Yud and the Hey? The shame of Hashem of Yud and Hey came up actually in today's Parsha, in Parsha's Pinchas, where the Shvatim are each described, not the Shvatim, the Mishpachos are each described with a hey and a yud, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's his edus on these mishpachos, that they actually are who they say they are, that they come from the shvatim, because the umos ha'olam were mevaza us, and they said, nah, you think the mitzrim were mishabidu and they didn't take advantage of the women also? You think you're really miyuchas achar the shvatim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to put my name on on each of them. It's not just Mishpachas Chanoch, it's Mishpachas Chanochi. It's Hey and a Yud, because the Yud and the Hey is the Shem Hashem. But Yud and Hey is only one of the Shemos Hashem, and it is the Golus form of Shem Hashem. That's what Yod Al Keiska, that we hope that eventually Amalek caused the Shem Hashem to not be complete in this world. And we hope that eventually, when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to be Mashlim the Shem Hashem. Kol HaNeshama Talel Ka, that as long as the Kisei is not Shalim, the Shem is not Shalim, so we're only able to be Mahalal HaKadosh Baruch Hu with two Osios. Ooh, Bala Sidlavo, then the Shem is going to be Shalim, the Kisei is going to be Shalim, we'll be able to be Mahalal HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all four Osios of the Shem Hashem. That's what Taisus and Brachos writes, that Yehei Shmei Rabba is that we're davening that one day Yehei Shem Yud Kei will once again be Rabba, will once again be the full name, the great name of Hashem. One of the other things we know about Lasa Lava, the Navi Yeshayo tells us, Lo Yiru V'lo Yashchisu B'chol Har Kachi Kimola Aretz Deya, that the Chayos are not going to be able to affect us, that the wild animals are not going to be scary to us anymore. So the Lachash of Ka Ka is we use the Shtei Osios of Shem Hashem, and then we say Hashem Tzvakos, that eventually it's going to be Hashem Tzvakos, and then the Chayos aren't going to be able to have any impact on us. Right? What does the Navi tell us that, or the Chumash tell us that the Chumash tells us that eventually it's Vigarze Evim Keves, that either the wolf is not even going to attack the sheep. The wolf and the lamb are going to live together, not just the name of a restaurant. That's the wolf and the lamb are gonna live together, and then the Chayos aren't going to be a threat. So we're saying Ka Ka, that the minimized Shem Hashem is going to be Hashem Tzvakos Amen Amen Sela, and that's what and then that time the Kelev Shota is not going to have any impact on us. So says the Gemara, and then what the person should do after writing this lachash on this animal's hide, he should take off his clothing, take off his clothing and bury it in a Beis HaKvaros for 12 months, and then unbury it and burn it in an oven, and he should spread the ashes by the crossroads, and during that entire 12-month period that his clothing is buried in the Beis HaKvaros, Kishasi Maya, when he wants to drink water, Lo Lishti Ela Begufsa D'Nechasha, he should only drink with a straw made out of copper, because if he drinks water without a straw directly from a cup, Dil Mechazi Bavua D'Shid Avil Estakein, he might look in the water and he'll see the reflection of a shade of a demon, and that's going to cause him Sakana. So if you drink out of a straw, you don't have to look in the cup. If you're not looking at the water, you're not going to see the reflection. So you won't see the reflection of the shade, and therefore you'll be protected. Ki ada Abba Bar Marta, just like it happened with Abba Bar Marta, who Abba Bar Minyomi, who happens to be the same person that's Abba Bar Minyomi, but he was bitten by a kelev shota. His mother made him a straw made out of gold, so that he can drink out of the golden straw, and that way he was able to have a refuah without having any setbacks by seeing a shade. Okay, Ba'odam Rabbi Masya. Somebody said that Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh also told us that someone who's choshish begrono, if their throat hurts them, so they should put a sam bitoch piv. They should put some sort of medication in their mouth on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan chosh bitzafidna. He had a certain disease called safidna that starts in the mouth. It seems like a gum disease, but somehow we're going to soon see that it then spreads to other parts of the body and becomes quite dangerous. So Azul Gabada Imatrunisa, he went to a certain non-Jewish noble woman that was the governing power in the city of Tveria where he lived, and Avdala Milsa, and she did a refuah for him. Chamshu Mali Shabbata, she prepared some sort of refuah for him on Thursday and Friday, on Yom Chamishi and on Erev Shabbos. So Amar Las, Rabbi Yochanan said to her, B'Shabbos Mai, what's going to be on Shabbos? I can't come to you on Shabbos because I'm going to be too busy teaching the Talmidim on Shabbos. That's how Rashi seems to say, Maseches Avodah Zarah, that he's not able to come because of the Talmidim B'nai Kala, the people who come to the Kala is the shir that they would gather together, because that's what would happen on Shabbos. Shabbos is the time that everybody's off from work, so it's a time of increased Talmud Torah. So it couldn't just be that she was outside of the Tchum, because the Yerushalmi says that he came to her on Erev Shabbos Samach L'Chashecha, so it must be that they live very close to each other, otherwise he wouldn't have come Samach L'Chashecha on Erev Shabbos. So it couldn't have been outside of the Tchum, it must be this other issue, that Shabbos was just too busy a day. Everyone else takes off on Shabbos, but the rabbi is darshaning all day on Shabbos, so he's busy. He doesn't have time. He works 7 days a week. He doesn't have time to be able to go to have his medical treatments on Shabbos. So he said to her, "What's going to be on Shabbos? So Amalei, lo tzrichas. You're not going to need any more refuah on Shabbos. You already had all the whole cycle that you need of refuah over the past 2 days. Imastrichnamai. Okay, well, what if I do need refuah? What if it hurts? You know, you're going to tell the doctor says you'll be okay. And what if I'm not okay? Then what do I do? So Amalei, ishtabli dvar megalis. She says, okay, I'll tell you the secret ingredient. I'll tell you the secret sauce of how to make this medication. But you have to swear to me that you're not going to tell it to anybody. So ishtava, swear, scout's honor. So not scout's honor. Luck of the Yisrael lo maglino, better than scout's honor. By the God of the Jewish people, I am not going to be megala this to anybody. I will not tell anybody. So nafak drasha bepirka. So Rabbi Yochanan then went out and he taught it to everybody. He gave a drasha in the yeshiva, saying, oh, by the way, there's a great new refuah that I just got access to the ingredients, you know, so like, you know, kaviyach, like he revealed the secret ingredient in Coca-Cola or something, you know, the Mashkiach swears, not going to tell anybody, and he just goes and he tells everybody how to do it. Vashtavalasa says, why did you do that? He just swore he's not going to do it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan swore, la'alak at Yisrael la'maglina, hala ama Yisrael maglina, I'm not going to tell God, but I'll tell the people. I said that to the God of Israel, I'm not going to reveal it, but to the people of Israel, I'll reveal it. Now, normally, le'alachat Yisrael le'maglina does not mean I won't reveal it to Hashem. Hashem knows everything. He's bochen kleyos v'leiv. He knows everything that's already that we don't know. But normally, it means that I'm swearing b'shem Elokei Yisrael, that I'm not going to be megala to anybody. So obviously, it's a little bit tricky to say such a thing. But he's saying, even though the impression I gave was a sheker, but the words I said weren't sheker, because there's a way to say it in a way that's actually MS, similar to what is it? Anochi Esav Becharecha. Anochi, I'm Yaakov, and Esav is your Bechar, right? But the impression you're giving is that you're Esav. Yeah, so even when a person has to lie for whatever reason, in this case, obviously, Eldu is Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore he has to lie. So you see from here an important Yisod, the Pasuk says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So some of the Acharnim explain that Midvar Sheker Tirchak means that even in those situations where it's mutter for a person to lie, I think Rav Zalman Saratzkin writes like this in the Zayim Latorah, that even when it's mutter for a person to lie, at least stay away from a Dvar Sheker, meaning at least make it that the words are can be interpreted as true as well, that there's a way to interpret your words that they're true, even if the impression that you're giving is a lie, and therefore it's obviously a lie, because lying is not something that's mutter to do, but there are situations that it's mutter to do it. You're allowed to lie b'makom pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to lie b'mipnei ha-shalom, you're allowed to lie for certain things. Someone just asked me Shaila this week. They said that someone came, they were waiting for someone to for a meeting or to pick them up or something, and they were waiting for a while, and the person came and said, oh, were you waiting long? So he said, no, not at all. So he said that a friend who was waiting with him said, how could you tell a lie? What's your heter to tell a lie to say that you weren't waiting long? You were waiting for a very long time. How could you not tell them? He said, I didn't want to make them feel bad. Where does it say that not to make someone feel bad you're allowed to lie? So it's obvious. It's Seichel tells you that, no? And of course you're allowed to lie in such a situation. You're allowed to, there are certain cases where you're allowed to lie. So even in those cases where you're allowed to lie, you mean Dvar Sheker Tirchak. You should stay away from a Dvar Sheker. So it says, okay, so he was allowed to lie. But Vayikach Chil Hashem, but isn't Chil Hashem because she's going to feel that he did something not nice to her, that he violated his shvua, and that the shvua b'shem Hashem doesn't mean anything to the Jewish people. So it says more that the Megala LeMeikara, before he went and he darshened it, he told her that he was going, that the shvua was not really b'shem Hashem, and therefore she was not under the impression that he was violating the shvua b'shem Hashem. He told her, by the way, I'm going to tell everybody because I did not really swear by the shem Hashem. I swore that I will not tell Hashem, but I'm going to tell other people. So my avdalei. So what was the refua that she did that now was apparently public knowledge because he gave it to everybody? So it's water that they soak sa'orim in together with shemen zayis, together with olive oil, umelach, and salt. That's the secret ingredients. Rav Yemer Amar, sa'or gufei, not mei sa'or, the sa'or itself, shemen zayis, umelach, and the other two ingredients are the same. Rav Ashi Amar, mashcha degat v'diabzot, the fat of the bone marrow of a small bone that's found in the tip of a bird's wing. So Amar Abayi, Ana Avdi Lukulu V'lo Atzai. I tried all of those medications and none of them worked. Adom Liyahutaya, until I found an Arab merchant that I see Kashiasa Dezesa Lomolutilta, who brought me seeds of an olive, pits of an olive that had not grown to one third of its growth, Vikalim Benura, and he burnt it in fire, Amar Chadata, on a new kli, Va'ad Bivachi Dare, and he put it on the row of teeth, Avdi Hachi Vitzayin, did that, and it was a refuah. Now, so apparently there was something about Shemen Zayas, or something about olives, because he used the pits of the olive, and maybe this means even in addition to the other things that were suggested, meaning there were certain elements of the refuah that he was unaware of, that he didn't know. A lot of times he may have like that. A lot of times Chazal will tell us certain refuahs, why don't we use the refuahs of Chazal? The Avram Ben Aram says, if a person decides that he wants to use all the refuahs of Chazal for all of their ailments, so dumb of Barosho. It's like he's committing suicide. You know, he's responsible for his own life for doing it. So what, Chazal were wrong? So some people, different approaches. Some people will say, Chazal were going with the best medicine that they knew at their time, and nowadays we're more advanced in medicine. Others say, no, this has nothing to do with medicine. This has to do with Chazal had a Mesorah, which understood the human body better than we could ever understand it. Elamai, we don't know exactly what they did, meaning we know some basic ingredients, you know, that the Gemara will tell us, but we don't know exactly how they used it and in what proportion, and how maybe they had to heat it up over a fire that was, they used as the firewood a feather of a particular bird, and you know, like we don't know what else was involved. That's one of the tainas some of the people have with the tcheles that we have nowadays. Some people taina that it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that when you're doing the dyeing that you have to expose it to sunlight, because if you don't expose it to sunlight while producing the dye, it turns purple, it becomes argaman, and it doesn't go back to tcheles. The only way it can go back to tcheles and stay that way is if you expose sunlight. The Gemara tells you how to make tcheles and never mentions that, so the answer probably is that that's not a raya against the tcheles. The Gemara probably doesn't mention a lot of the parts of it. It doesn't give you every single detail that you need to know about how to make it. So anyway, says the Gemara, what causes this ailment? So if a person eats very hot wheat bread, or he eats the leftover of small fish that are fried with flour in their own oil, and it's left overnight, and then he eats the leftovers of that. Umaisi, it doesn't sound healthy. Umaisi mane, what are the simanim of such a choli? Kadrami midi b'kachi va'asadama mibedari. When he puts something in his teeth, and all of a sudden blood starts coming out of his gums, it's a sign of a terrible gum disease. If every time you touch your gums, there's going to be bleeding. Some of the poskim held that you're not allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos because every time you brush your teeth, you bleed. If every single time you brush your teeth, you bleed, you must see a dentist. You probably have gum disease, meaning that is not something that should normally happen. So it's probably not a psik reshe, right? That every time one brushes their teeth, that they're going to bleed. So anyway, so says Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan, ki chash b'tzapidna, when he had this illness of tzapidna, avarach b'shabbat v'itzi, he made this refuah on Shabbos that the nachris had taught, and he had a refuah. Rabbi Yochanan, echi avarachi, but how is Rabbi Yochanan allowed to do a refuah on Shabbos? I thought it's you're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. And says Gemara, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, shani tzapidna, whole maskul b'pe, begom Rabbi b'nei me'ayim. It's an ailment that starts in the mouth, but then it makes its way down the rest of the body. So therefore, you're allowed to do such a refuah on Shabbos. I'm the b'chir barab the Rabbi Yochanan, kiman k'Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh. Whose shita do you hold like that? You're allowed to take such a refuah on Shabbos. You're assuming like Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh, da'amar ha'choshish p'piv matil nosam b'Shabbos, because he's the one that says in the Mishnah that if a person has some sort of ailment in their mouth, they're allowed to put a medication on it on Shabbos. But if it's only Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh that holds that way, the Chachamim disagree, and they hold you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So why do you paskin like Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh against the Chachamim? You're supposed to follow the Rabbim and not the Yachid. So shani omer bezuv lo ba'acheres, that I say that when the Chacham Ramot, it's Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh, about this particular issue, but then there is other halachas that the Chacham disagree, only about the case when you're bit by a Kelev Shota, about whether you're supposed to eat the Chatzakavit Shalo, so that's where the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh. But the Chacham agree to Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh about the problem with the mouth and putting the Sam on the mouth. So maybe we could bring a riot to Rabbi Yochanan based on the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, Mishach, so Yerakon, if a person has some sort of jaundice, Machilin, so Basar Chamor, they feed him donkey meat, which will be healthy for him. If a person is bit by a rabid dog, Machilin, so Mechatzar Kavit Shalom, they feed him from the Chatzar Kavit Shalom, from the extra piece on the liver, V'achoshish pepiv, and a third element, if he has in his mouth, matil lo sam b'shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Masi ben Charash. That's where Masi ben Charash says, all three of those illnesses, those are the three refuos. V'chamro omrim, be'elu ein be'mishum refuah. That these are not a refuah, and anything that's not refuah, you're not allowed to feed him. Says Mar be'elu l'mutei mai. From the fact that they say, that the Chacham say, be'elu ein be'mishum refuah, sounds like they disagree with Rabbi Masi ben Charash only on some of these dinim. So, but they do agree about something else. So my love the mute sam, it must be that two out of the three they disagree with him about, but they agree about the sam on Shabbos, that that it's a refuah gemura and you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So therefore it's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that the chacham marmodet to Rabbi Masi ben Charash that he's allowed to take this medication. Says more lo the mute mekizin dam lesronchi. No, maybe the chacham agree with Rabbi Masi ben Charash that on Shabbos you're allowed to do bloodletting for a person who has a certain illness called askira in order to have a refuah. That's where the Chacham agree. Who says the Chacham agree about putting the sam on the mouth when a person has the gum disease? And hachinam mistaver, it's mistaver to say this way, titanya, shlosh dvar mamar bishol Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Shol Rabbi Yossi said three things, shesham mishum Rav Masi ben Charash, that he heard from Rav Masi ben Charash. Number one, makiz and dam l'sronachi, b'shabbos, that you're allowed to do hakazas dam for a person who is suffering from askara on Shabbos. Number two, mishin shachu kelev shota, mechilim osam mechatsu kovit shalom. And number three, v'choshish b'piv, matil no sam b'shabbos. And the Chachamim omrim, be'elu ein b'mishum refuah, that in some of these, there is not a refuah. We agree about one of them, but not about the other two. So be'elu mutemai, which one do they agree about? My love, atarti basraisa, isn't it going on the, aren't they saying that they only disagree about the last two, but lumute deresha, but to be might, the first din of hakazas dam, that a person has askara, that hakazas dam is helpful, and therefore it's a riot to the braisa, that the Chachamim agree to Rav Masi ben Charash only about Hakazas Dam on Shabbos for someone who's suffering from Askara, but not about the therapy that Rabbi Yochanan had, which means we're back to the Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan take this therapy on Shabbos? Only Rav Masi ben Charash holds you allowed to do that. The Chachamim disagree. So says Marlo, Atarti Teresha Kabais, Lumute Teseifa. Maybe the Chachamim only disagree about the first two, and they agree about the last one. They agree that you're allowed to put the sam when you're suffering from that gum disease. So Tashimasa says, Gemara, let's bring another raya to be poshed this suffix. Titani Rab Bar Shmuel, Urbra Sheiricha, if a pregnant woman smells on Yom Kippur, she smells a delicious food, and she feels this craving for it, Machino Sacha Toshav Nasha, we feed her until she calms down. If a person is bitten by a kelev shota, machilin lo sam mechatzukavit shalom. And vachoshish bepiv, matilin lo sam b'shabbos. Three halachos. Divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, shav mishum Rabbi Masi ben Charash. That's what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi reported in the name of Rabbi Masi ben Charash. V'chachamim omrim, bazu v'lo ba'acheres. We're moded to Rabbi Masi ben Charash about this, but not about the others. So bazu aheya. Which one? Which one of those three therapies do the chachamim agree about? Ile ma ubra, if it's about a pregnant woman who smells delicious food in Yom Kippur that she's allowed to eat, well, pshita, of course she's allowed to. Ubra miikal madiyam lo, does anyone hold that a pregnant woman who smells delicious food and therefore has a craving and therefore feels she's going to die or the baby's going to die if she doesn't eat it, that she's not allowed to? Ela v'sam, it must be that the chachamim agree, bazu, they agree about the sam. They agree that if the person is suffering from this gum disease that Rabbi Yochanan suffered from, that you're allowed to take the therapy on Shabbos. Ah, shema mina, so we see the chachamim agree. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan did right. It wasn't only Rav Masi ben Charash held that way, the Chachamim agree as well. Says Gemara, in case you're not happy with that, we'll bring you another Raya. Rav Ashi Amar Sisanami Daika, that it's Mduyuk this way in our Mishnah, because what does the Mishnah say? V'odam Rav Masi ben Charash, Hachoshish Bepiv, Matil No Sam B'Shabbos. If a person has a problem with his mouth, he has this gum disease, so they do Sam on Shabbos. V'lo Pligi Rabbanan Alei, says explicitly, and the Rabbanan do not, it doesn't say explicitly, but we're Medayik, that in the Mishnah, the Rabbanan are not reported to disagree about that issue. But Vimisa the Plig Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan really do disagree about that issue, there are Vinivlas and Plig Rabbanan Seifa, then the Mishnah should have said both Din of Rav Masi ben Charash together and mentioned that the Rabbanan disagree with both of them. Meaning Rav Masi ben Charash said in the Mishnah about being bit by a Kelev Shota and what to do about that, be eating the Chatzar Kavit Shalah, and about the person who has this gum disease and putting the sam on it. But in the Mishnah, it only reports that the Chum disagree with the first of those two dinim, not with the second of those two dinim. Why? Because the Chum agree with the second of those two dinim, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan was comfortable taking that therapy on Shabbos, because there's no machlokas about it. Even the Chacham agrees. Shmamina. So that, in fact, is a starker raya. So now the two dots, the Mishnah had said, Mipnesh Savig Nefasha. So we said that if a person has this throat, gum, whatever ailment, so you put sam betoch piv on Shabbos, and the reason you're allowed to do that is because it's suffik nefashos, and every suffik nefashos is docha Shabbos. The Mishnah said, "Kol suffik nefashos docha Shabbos." So lama lisu lemeimar, but kol suffik nefashos docha Shabbos. Once you inform me that it's suffik nefashos, why do you then need to say those words? Oh, and kol suffik nefashos docha Shabbos. So Rav Demrav lo suffik Shabbos zu bilvad. It's not only suffik nefashos about this Shabbos amru, where they say you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. I mean, certainly if someone's going to die this Shabbos, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos right now, for right now. Ela afilu safek Shabbos acheres. Even if he's in a situation where if he doesn't take this sam on Shabbos, he might die next Shabbos, you're allowed to be mechal this Shabbos to save him from a safek nefashos of the following Shabbos. So says my hechidami, what would be the case where you would think not that way? I mean, you imagine the doctor comes and he says, he's not going to die today, but in a week from now he'll die. And you say, oh, I'm not going to be Mechal Shabbos for that. No, you better be Mechal Shabbos for that. If he's going to die in a week from now, you got to be Mechal. That's also Mikoach Nefesh. Of course you can be Mechal Shabbos. No, kondem du'l t'mani yomi, that the doctors assume that he's going to need to take the medication for 8 days. So whichever day you start the medication on is going to be the only day that's doubled. Meaning, so you're going to have to do the medicine for a period of 8 days. So every day of the week is going to get once, but one day of the week is going to get twice. So Yom HaKama, Shabbata. So today is when the doctor prescribes it, and Shabbos. So if you start on Shabbos, it's going to end on Shabbos also. He could take the medicine tomorrow also. So Mal Detema, I might have thought, Le'akev Ad L'Urta, wait till Motzai Shabbos, Ki Echid Lo Nechal Le'Trei Shabbata. Why would you have to be Mechal two Shabbosos for this medication? Kamash Milan, that's why he's telling us, if you're a Cholosh Yishma Sakana, you do it right now. Cholosh Yishma Sakana, rather, if it's something that's dangerously ill, you do it right now. It doesn't matter that there's another way out that you might be able to take care of it after Shabbos. Tani Namiachi Mechamin Chamin L'Cholah B'Shabbos, that we heat up water for a Cholah on Shabbos, Bein L'Hashkosa, whether it's water that he needs to drink, Bein L'Avrosa, whether to bathe in to strengthen his body, V'lo Shabbos Obelvad, Omer, not only for this Shabbos, Ha'lo Shabbos Acheres, even if it's for the next Shabbos, Vein Omer Nam Tum Lo Shema Yavri. You don't say wait and don't heat up the water because maybe he'll get better on his own. El Mechamin Lo Miyad, right away you do it. Meish Shabbos Nefashos Dochas Shabbos, V'lo Safik Shabbos Zu, El Afilu Safik Shabbos Acheres. Not only if it's dangerous for this Shabbos, even if it's dangerous for the next Shabbos. You do not do these malachos by having a nachri come and do it for you, a kuti come and do it for you. No, the people that should be involved in doing this are the gedolei Yisrael. Now, you know, when people use that term, gedolei Yisrael, they misunderstand that term. Because we think, oh, gedolei Yisrael means that if you need a refuah on Shabbos, you should call Rav Moshe Feinstein and have him come to your house and, you know, okay, get Rav Chaim Kanievsky over right away to light the fire so that you can get the water. That's not what Gadol Yisrael means over here. It means Gadol over Bar Mitzvah Yisrael and Jewish. So it means that your Bar Mitzvah Bachur means anyone, meaning a regular Jewish person. A Jewish person who's Chayiv in Mitzvahs should be the one to do it. We don't have women do it, we don't have Kutim do it, meaning we're not going to do these things if they're the ones that say they have to be Mechal Shabbos for the Cholah. We don't listen to an Isha or to a Kuti, but they could be Mitztarif as another Daya if someone else already tells us that we need to be Mechal Shabbos, meaning someone who might get hysterical and overreact and is not giving an honest assessment of whether we need to be Mechal Shabbos should not be trusted. But once you determine that you have to be Mechal Shabbos, so then you really have to be Mechal Shabbos, and then you don't look for someone who's a guy or someone like that in order to do the malacha. This was a major issue about driving Hatzalah ambulances on Shabbos. The Gemara says that when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, to save a person, you don't do a Nachri, you don't use a Kuti. It's Gedolei Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis that it's in order that Shabbos should not be Kalabe Ineyim, that they're going to assume that there's an Isra of Asiyas Malacha for Pikuach Nefesh, and that's why the guy is the one that's told to do it. So, meaning the guy is going to assume that really Pikuach Nefesh is not not Dochah Shabbos, and that's why the Jews aren't involved in it. But they're not above asking me to do it, because they're more concerned about their lives than they are about the religion, than they are about the Ribbono Shalom. So that's what the Rambam says. That's why we dafka demonstrate that no, Pikuach Nefesh is Dochah Shabbos. That's why we're willing to do it ourselves. The Ran says, I think the more pashup shot is that the chashash is that people are going to see that we're only matir Pikuach Nefesh, you know, with a guy or with someone else. So we have to be choshesh that maybe what's going to happen when I can't find a nachri, when I can't find a katan, so everyone's going to be hesitant to be mechal Shabbos, and people are going to die. People are going to suffer for that because people are going to be hesitant to be mechal Shabbos. That's what you don't have time for shailas sometimes. You just got to be mechal Shabbos. As Rav Shechter told us, Rav Chaim used to say that when people would ask shailas on these issues, he would say it's the rabbi's fault that they're asking, they're hesitating and asking shailas. They already are supposed to know the halacha. The rabbi, that should be the first drasha when the rabbi takes over the shul, that when it's pikuach nefesh, just do, just act if it's a case of pikuach nefesh. You don't have time to ask shailas. So these are some of the reasons why we don't do it al yaday a nachri. The Ramach and the Agos and the Rambam says another reason, that since the nachrim are not zrizim, we're afraid that they're going to be posheya, meaning they're not as zariz as the Jewish people in doing the avodah, so then we're afraid they're going to be posheya. Nafkamina between these reasons, let's say you know that the nachri is zariz, you know that the nachri is an ambulance driver and he does a very good job. So according to the reason of the Ran Yosef to be choshesh, the people are going to think that we're hesitant about being mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. But if you're worried about the zrizus, then l'chora it would not be an issue. So the poskim discuss driving the ambulance, if it's better to have a guy doing it, or maybe not, you know, or better to have a gedolei Yisrael do it. So driving the ambulance is not actually a refuah, right? Meaning it's helping the person get to the hospital. The people in the back of the ambulance are dealing with the refuah issue. So Rav Meisha thought in Tshuvas HaKruz Moshe or Chaim Chilak Dal Simen Pei that maybe we should have Goyim drive the Atzala ambulances, because it's not really Atzala Mamish, and therefore you don't have to worry that people are going to think that we're hesitant about Pikuach Nefesh, because there are Jews in the back of the ambulance working on the person and doing all sorts of malacha. So no one's going to think that we're hesitant about Pikuach Nefesh. So maybe Taku with driving the ambulance, where a guy's going to do just as good a job and there's not going to be any Yisrashlus, so then you should have a non-Jew drive the ambulance. And then in a later tshuva, Rav Moshe said, they told me, in Or Chaim Chilakei Simen Chafei, he says, the Hatzalah people told me that the non-Jewish ambulance drivers don't drive as fast as the Jewish ambulance drivers, so it's important for Pikuach Nefesh that we have Jewish ambulance drivers. So Rav Moshe said, but I'm concerned about parking. When you get there to park the ambulance properly, so that's not Pikuach Nefesh anymore, and then what are you going to do? So he said, maybe you should have a non-Jew on the ambulance to park the ambulance once you get there, once you get to the hospital. But then he said that he was told that there are certain things that legally they're not allowed to do in terms of treatment in the back of an ambulance, but sometimes they're necessary to save a life. And if you have a non-Jew there, so then they're going to master to the government that they're doing things that they're not authorized to do. So better not to have too many eyes in the back of the ambulance and just do what needs to do in order to save a life. Fascinating back and forth. And at the end of the day, I think Hatzalah typically is only Jews that go in the ambulance and they drive the ambulance. I think everything they do is legal. I don't think they do. I'm not sure what he's referring to with that. But that's the discussion that the post can have. Okay, so where are we up to? Tan Rabbanan. We do anything for Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. And someone who rushes to do Pikuach Nefesh, to save for Pikuach Nefesh, is Meshubach. You don't have to go ask for permission from Beis Din. So, okay, you see a baby that fell into the sea. Go put a thing there to pull him out. Put a net there and get him out of there. And do it quickly. You don't have to ask Beis Din if you're allowed to do it. Even though there may be fish that come up in the net, so you're going to go ask a shayla, oh, maybe a psikresha, then I'm going to catch fish, so should I save that baby that's drowning over there? Save the baby! Don't go asking Beis Din what to do. You save the person's life. You see a child that falls into a bar, take a cloud of dirt and raise the ground level of the bar so that he could step up and that he'll get out of there. Do it quickly! You don't need rishus from Beis Din, even though you're violating the malacha of bona by adding adding an extra layer of ground to the pit. Rush and Nunaladalus Befletinok, you see that the door is locked and a child is locked inside of a room. Shovra, break down the door, Motzio, and get the kid out of there. Fazarizumashubach, do it as quickly as you can. Oh, is it so, sir? I'm taking off the doorknob of the house. I'm not knocking down the door. Just do it. Even though you're trying to break the boards on the door, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to put out a fire that's pikuach nefesh when there's pikuach nefesh, and you're allowed to be mafsik mipneat like a Shabbos. You're allowed to put buckets of water around the fire so that it will explode the buckets and the water will come and extinguish the fire. Do it quickly. You don't need rishos from bezin to do it. Even though you're evening out the coals and you're going to be able to roast on them on Matzah Shabbos, still you're allowed to do it. Utsricha, why do I need to be told all of these things? I mean, we get the point. Save lives and don't hesitate. No, diash min and yam, if it only would have told me the case of the kid drowning, because if you go and ask a shayla, of course you have to do it right away. If you go and ask a shayla, the waves are going to take him away, the current is going to take him away, he won't be there to save anymore. Aval bar de kayasiv emalo, but where he's sitting in a bar, I would think he's not going anywhere, he's just sitting there. So tricha, that's why he has to tell me even for the bar. Viash min a bar, if it only would have told me the case of the bar mishum to come ivis, because the child is terrified. He's stuck in the bottom of a bar. But if he's on the other side of the door, maybe the room that he's trapped in is the playroom. He's got all of his toys, and you know you could talk to him from the other side of the door, and you could keep him calm. So you would think it's no big deal. That's why we need to be told. They got to break down the door. Why does he have to tell me the case of putting out the fire? Even if the pikuach nefesh is not in your chatzar, it's in the next chatzar over. That even that you have to be concerned. Let's go a little bit weiter. We don't follow Rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh. If you have 9 Jews and 1 kuti among them, and he's telling us we don't follow the Rov Yisrael, and you don't have to save the person's life because who knows, maybe it's a kuti. So Ruba Yisrael, what do you mean that over there the Rov is Rov Yisrael? Of course you have to save the person's life. And even if it was 50-50 suffering the fashos, you'd have to save the life because it's suffering the fashos. Elidika Tisha Kuti in Yisrael. Now the case is the opposite. There are 9 kutim and 1 Yisrael. So Hanami Pshita Davali Kavova Kol Kavova Kamech Salach Sadami. Well, in that case also, if I don't know whose life is in jeopardy, we assume that if they're in their location, then it has a din of Kavua, and Kavua has a din of 50-50. So of course you have to save the life. So Lutzricha Deparish L'Chatzer Acher. Now the case is someone who started in this Chatzer, which is 90% occupied by non-Jews, went to another Chatzer, and over there it got trapped under the rubble of a building. So I don't know. It's a 90% chance that it's a non-Jew that's trapped under the rubble. So Ma'al Detema called the Parish Meruba Parish. I might have thought that we apply called the Parish Meruba Parish, and therefore he's probably from the 90%, and it's probably a non-Jew. That's why we're told that we're not holy b'pikuach nefesh acharov. We don't follow the rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh. Aini, is that really true that Shmuel said in the case where the guy goes to another chatzer? If there are 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew, ba'us a chatzer in the same chatzer mefakhin, you're mechal Shabbos to save whoever's there. B'chatzer acheres ain't mefakhin. But if it's in another chatzer, then you're not mechal Shabbos to save the person. Meaning you taka do follow the rov in that case. Says Mar Lokasha, had the parish kulu, had the parish mixasai. Shmuel is talking about a case where all of the people went to the other chatzer. So bivadai, there is at least 1 Yisrael that was in that chatzer when the building collapsed. So then you have to be Mechal Shabbos. But Rabbi Yochanan was talking about it where only some of them went to the second Chatzar. So you don't know if there was a Yisrael there in the first place. So since you have no Chazakah that there was a Yisrael there, then you just follow the simple Rov, and it's Rov Kutim, and you're not Mefakeh Chesagal. You do not remove the rubble in such a case. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. And thank you for coming to
lunch. That's tomorrow.
The regular time, what time do 6:30, right? That's what we're doing.
6:30 is during the week, but
in camp, during the week and Sunday are the same, so I gotta be on schedule.
Good to luck.
Good to luck.
By the way.